Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BaltimoreBaseball.com, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Longtime Oriole writer, columnist, Peter Schmuck. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
All right. Brandon Hyde gets the gate. I mean, the Orioles, we were talking about it earlier, Peter, as you know, if they have a winning season this year, which seems to be a long shot, be the first time in 40 years they had four straight winning seasons consecutive back to back. We know the resume. The surprise level for you that he was removed from or relieved of his duties, excuse me, and the fact that the Orioles had come out and laid two gigantic stinkers in the aftermath. Mike Elias, I'm not saying he's clean, but a lot of people have now turned their angst towards him, obviously.
Of course. Disappointed, but not surprised. Obviously, I addressed it in my column on Saturday, asking them, please don't do this, because it will not have any positive effect other than to show that you will bend to the will of the social media crowd. You know, I mean, once you get to this point, and Ryan, obviously, too young or wasn't alive to remember this, but his grandfather got hired 6 days into the season in 88, and that wasn't his fault. And it didn't change anything. You know, you could make the case that they got better the next year. Of course they got better the next year. You couldn't do any worse than what they did that year. And they were already a team that wasn't capable of winning. And you have to deal with, you know, the situation as it is. And to go back in time, and I was not here in 88. I got here in 90. But really, Cal Ripken Sr. at the time was the perfect guy to go through that with those young players, because he had been the legendary minor league manager and coach. And in this case, Brandon Hyde would seem to be the perfect guy to gut this out and then work to, in a short 1 year rebuild to get back where they need to be. Now, what do they do? Now you got an interim manager. You don't know how that's going to go. I'm happy for him that he gets a chance to manage him. I'm not happy for him that he's got to watch this for the rest of the year. And rightfully so, the fans' angst immediately turns to Mike Elias, and he should have known that. He's not getting off the hook like this. And I don't know that this was even his decision.
Yeah, Peter, you're right. I was not born yet, but I do know the story for my grandfather, senior. You lose the first six in his first managerial opportunity. He gets fired, and then they lose 15 more in a row to go to 0-21. There's always more to problems with the team than just firing a manager. Now, I get it. Some cases, you might be able to flip a switch. People look to the Phillies when Joe Girardi was fired and Rob Thompson took over. Most cases, though, they're situational and they're circumstantial. For here in Baltimore, you're exactly right. I mean, the players, it's an emotional connection they have with Brandon Hyde. And this team has gone through quite a bit. But now you're right. This is a different time that they got to deal with. And for Mike Elias, Peter, I'm curious your thoughts. I know a lot of people want to put a lot of blame. And hey, it does fall on him for roster construction and what moves you make. But he has done a lot of good. But there is a lot that they are going to have to really self-reflect as they move into 25 and then further into 26.
Well, you make a great point, Ryan, and here's the problem that the ownership would have if they decided they were no longer satisfied with Mike Elias, and I can't understand why that would happen. Yeah, he signed Charlie Morton and Gary Sanchez, and I thought that was crazy, and it was. But my headline said, I didn't really say it in the actual column last Saturday, said, okay, fire the manager, fire the general manager, and then what? Is there somebody out there that would walk in here and fix this team over the next 4 months? No. You'll hear lots of rumors. I'm sure that people are going to be throwing your dad's name all around. And I'm sure he could handle the job, but I think some people know that they like the life they have, I don't know. You know, I don't know about that. But you know, every time you fire a manager, you fire a general manager, you start this hamster wheel rolling. And as I always point out, when you fire a manager in this situation, it becomes habit forming, and then you become a long time losing team.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, and you know, believe me, I've already heard some of the comments about, hey, Calvin, you know, what are you thinking here, right? And look, it's Michael Elias has done a lot of good for the team, but in baseball, and this is a business, right? And even the headline of the recent article, you had someone always has to pay, right? I guess then one thing I wanted to ask, and I have my opinion on a systematic, you know, philosophical change. You really got to self-reflect on maybe what you're teaching, because a lot of the young guys are coming through a system, they're taught a certain way, and now they're facing a lot of adversity. Are you feeling that there could be maybe, you know, things stay the same, but maybe we go back to a little bit less analytics and try to then reshape and try to help get, which I don't want people to get confused with. This is a really young and talented core. That doesn't change just because of the really rough start, but how do you maximize that? And I guess in your mind, Peter, how should the Orioles maximize that?
Well, you know, again, I would have preferred they stayed the course with these young guys, because they have to go through an emotional situation here now too, as you guys pointed out. Brandon's the only manager most of these guys have ever had at the major league level, and they've had success with him, and they have an emotional bond. Now, is it possible behind the scenes they don't like him as much as I think they liked him? I don't know, but. They have to work through this also on each of their own levels. And some of them will feel guilty they didn't support him better. Some will just be more stressed out and feel like they got to be even better, or they'll be next. There's all sorts of things that go through. These are young guys. They can think anything, and that scrambles their brains for when they get on the field. And so I don't see a huge turnaround. I will say this, that I wouldn't mind being Masolino, because they're going to play better because they couldn't play worse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they will play better over the next few weeks. I bet you they'll win 5 or 6 in a row at some point in the next month. You know, because as you said, Ryan, the talent is there. The pitching isn't, but they still have 3 decent starting pitchers, and they have Kate Povich. They could get on a little run. It's just the problem with it is that we've reached the point where it got late too early.
Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com. You talk about people having to pay, but not to read your columns at BaltimoreBaseball.com, correct, Peter?
That's correct. I'm free now.
Hey, real quick, I was at opening day 1988, and they lost 12-0 to Teddy Higuera and the Brewers. And Joe Orslak always said it would have been 13-0, but I threw a guy out at the plate. But yeah, that team was bad, and you knew it from the jump there. But real quick, a month from now, they're 20 games under 500. Who could be ex-Orioles as we get closer to the trade deadline, with a lot of pending free agents coming up here as well?
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking about that now, and I would like them not to shed Cedric. I think Cedric has a lot to do with the personality of the team when it's good, you know. I obviously think that they can deal Mountcastle. I don't know how much you get, because I think that long fence screwed him up, and bringing the fence in screwed him up again. And you guys can figure out what I mean by that. But I think that come mid-July, you know, I doubt they're going to be able to make any kind of big move in the next month or so. And if they are to move those guys, the guys that they don't know are coming back anyway, and I would suggest they do, then knowing Michael Elias, that means more prospects, and that means that, you know, they'll have to go out next offseason, spend a ton of money to be a playoff team next year.
Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Peter, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Great talking to you guys. Talk to you soon.
There's Peter Schmuck, everyone. As Ryan Ripken said last week, with Cedric Mullins in particular, if you don't trade him, you better extend him. You can't have it both ways. What do you think, everybody?
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.